Well, Gary, I wished you were here for this, but anyway. In the New Testament, imaginations is the word dialogismos. It means a thought, inward reasoning, deliberating, disputing, doubting, and just regular thoughts. And so we're going to look at a bunch of them in Luke. Luke 2.
I'm wondering about imaginations. Imaginations are seemingly something that you make up. You know, they're like illusions. But your definition sort of intimates that imaginations can be real. I'm trying to separate the two.
Well, again, the way the word is translated in the New Testament, it's not.
Would you read that definition again, please?
It's thoughts, inward reasoning.
Inward reasoning.
Deliberating, or deliberation. But it also means doubtful, disputing, doubting, and thoughts itself.
There's some doubting and disputing, that those don't seem to be words that would ring with the definition of imagination that our English, I agree.
Imaginations would be something like that guy that we were dealing with for a long time. They worked for Disney, and the unit he was working for was Imagineering. That's a Disney company or division that sat around and made up stuff. And that's what we think imagination
is. That's why I say reality versus illusion.
Right. All right, Luke 2, verse... That's one of the reasons. But in the scriptures, that's not, it means that plus a whole lot of other things. All right, starting in verse, well, just one verse. No, that's not true. Let's go to Well, let's just read it. I'll explain it. And behold, in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, or Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came to pass by the Spirit, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, for which thou prepared before the face of all people a light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, remember this guy, Simon, if I'm right, I think I am, was a member of Hillel's. He was a son of Hillel, as was Gamaliel. And he was a prominent priest in the, and otherwise he could not have done this, where he took the child in the middle of a ceremony that was sacred, and he took the child from the parents and held him. That could never have been done by any normal priest. It had to be somebody that was really high up in the order of the priesthood. And then he said this incredible thing. And for him saying this, every notation of him in the Hebrew Talmud and the writings was gone. It talks about it being gone in the Talmud, but anyway, just think of it. They're in the middle of this solemn ceremony to the circumcision on the eighth day after his birth. And he took the child Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then this incredible verse, yea, a sword shall pierce through this thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So that's that Dolegissimus.
You said at one point that the Talmud mentions in some way the absence of...
The Talmud talks about who this guy is. And he was...
Without mentioning his name?
No, it mentions his name in the Talmud.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. But he was a great teacher. He was of the Hillel had probably the greatest rabbi at the time, or priest at the time of Christ, was Gamaliel. You remember, and this was his brother.
Hillel was
before Gamaliel.
Okay.
And so, more than likely, Simeon and Gamaliel were brothers.
Okay. And Hillel was their father?
Yeah. Or grandfather, I can't remember. It's one of the two. It's in that lineage, anyway. Let's look at Gamaliel a minute. Let's go to Acts. I'm taking a side trip, but that's all right. Go to Acts. Peter has been put in jail. Peter and John were both in prison. And now, they're before the high priest. Let's look at starting verse 5.
What chapter?
Chapter 4. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." And that's, remember, he just had the miracle when they prayed for him, and then he's now, he got put in jail for it because he spoke in Jesus' name. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing by them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed is a notable miracle that has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them." I can't, this isn't the right place. I'm sorry, I'm out of it. But someplace Gamaliel says, if this be just men, then their work won't last. Does anybody remember where that is? No, Eddie, I'm sorry. Go to chapter 5. Again, the apostles were imprisoned. And then Gamaliel's in verse 33. "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. But there stood up one of the council of a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, 'You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God.'" So anyway, that was this Simeon's brother, Gamaliel. And that just shows you the wisdom. He named two of them, Theudas and Judas of Galilee, wasn't the Judas that was in the betrayed Jesus. But they were all these men not just these two, there were many others who claimed to be Messiah. And this was because it was the 70th week of Daniel was coming to pass. And all these guys were trying to claim they were the Messiah, and they all failed except one. All right? Back to Luke.
And the thought, which one of the words is thoughts in it? Gamaliel, that's right. Okay, sorry.
All right, let's go to Luke chapter 5. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He said, etc., etc. So there's two words there that are this thought words. One is reason in verse 21, and the other is when Jesus perceived their thoughts. Well, let's go to another one, Luke 6. Verse 7, the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, But the point of it is, in numerous places, he perceived their thoughts. I mean, it's almost like he was a mind reader. But it's more than that. It's by empathy he knew, he could tell what they were thinking. And in each case, they were condemned because their thoughts were either disputing, or arguing, or reasoning, and he condemned them for it. Let's go to one more and we'll quit for the day. Luke 9. This is the one where Jesus had just, he went up and was transfigured. He had the disciples, a few of the disciples with him. And while they were gone, the disciples tried to heal this guy. And it didn't work. So this is starting verse 37. And when it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill or the mountain, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily, departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning, again, the same word for imaginations, amongst them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be the greatest. So the two words, one in verse 46, there arose a reasoning among them. It's that same word, dialogismos. And then it's in verse 47, it's perceiving. Perceiving the thought. One of the things that seems so weird to us is, and it happens over and over and over again in the New Testament, is this idea that people ask him a question, and he answers something totally out of the, that has nothing to do with what they asked him. It's especially true with, I think it is, let's look at one real quick, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So the point of it is, Jesus doesn't answer him. And it goes, and I've got a list somewhere of the places where Jesus, they ask him a question, and then he goes off on a tangent. And that doesn't have anything to do with what they asked him. Because he knew what was behind what they were asking him. One more quick one. Go to John 12. Verse 21. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida and Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified." So these guys came to see him for some reason that doesn't even say why. And he goes off and doesn't even answer them. He ignores what they were saying. And to me, Jesus always saw what was behind, or what was the real reason for asking something. It had nothing to do with what they were asking. So we're going to do a few more thoughts tomorrow. Or this word that's translated imaginations or thoughts or doubting, or, and then we're going to look at the one final one that ties them all together. I'm sorry I'm so out of it, so, but it is what it is. Take it, big guy.